Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Girly Homesteader Podcast. So today's episode is all about my goals for the month of February, but I am going to give just some updates about what's going on around here. There's really not much going on, but at least it is getting a little bit warmer and it does seem like spring is coming. So stay tuned for my February homestead goals. Hello and welcome to season 3 of the Girly Homesteader Podcast, the show that's definitely not your typical homesteading podcast. I'm your host, Laura, a girly homesteader living in Xenia, Ohio, with my husband, chickens, bees, and garden. On this weekly show, we'll cover the typical stuff, like gardening and chicken lady life, but we also go beyond the farm and talk about things like goal setting, makeup, planners, skincare, and staying in tune with nature's seasons. I've considered myself a homesteader for the past 3 years now, and in 2024, I'm hoping to hone the skills I've learned and continue to share those experiences with you. So, welcome to this girlier side of homesteading, where we can grow and flourish together. All right, so before we get into my goals for the month, some updates. We are officially out of our Persephone period, which is very exciting because that means that right now at my latitude, we are getting over, just barely, but still over 10 hours of sunlight in a day. So what that means is that the plants outside are now getting enough sunlight or daylight where they can start to grow. Now, I did not have enough food in my winter garden to really get me through the winter, like to overwinter. And so I also had those pH issues. And so I kind of just decided, you know what, I'm going to let my garden freeze and go to shit. So I did. So right now, the Persephone period for me, that doesn't really mean much about, like, in regards to stuff that I have overwintered in my garden. Because yeah, I wanted the almost 0 degree temperatures to kill everything off. That way I could have an easier time of starting fresh, amending my soil, and doing all of that for the 2024 season. So the good news, though, is that the Persephone period ending, it means that the chickens, they have picked up a tiny bit in their egg production, because now we're getting, I don't know, maybe 3 to 4 eggs a day, so that's good. But the other thing is that the end of that Persephone period, it means that I can start doing stuff outside if I really want to and push the limits. I am going to get into this in my goals for the month of February, and I've actually completed some of these things already, but the way that my brain works the day that I'm recording this podcast, we are in February, quote unquote, even though technically we're not when I'm recording, but just the way that I look at my planner and I look at my goals and my tasks, I see things week by week. And so the fact that in my brain, this week has more days of February than it does of March or of January, in my head, we're in February, but we're not. But anyways, I have completed some of the things that I want to talk about. So really, other than that, there's not many not many updates that have gone on. Oh my goodness gracious, I do have a story. So if you didn't see this on Instagram, I almost ate a stink bug. Yeah. So I have been growing greens in our basement in our aero gardens, and it's been going just fine. It's great. I mean, obviously I can't get the amount of greens that I would get outside, and they don't really taste as good, but still better than the store, and they're fresher. But anyways, I've been growing them down in the basement, and I know that we have bugs, like stink bugs specifically, and ladybugs in our basement, just like most people do at this time of year. But I didn't really think about the stink bugs getting into my plants. Because when I go to harvest from the basement greens, I just take my fridge container down there, snip them off, and put them in the fridge because, you know, they're grown hydroponically. There's no dirt. There's no outside bugs, no nothing. Well, the bugs can still get in the greens. So it was our ritual pizza night in our house. So we have sourdough pizza, we have a salad, generally we have some bourbon, and we were eating our salad, and I put a bite in my mouth, and I taste what smells like a stink bug. And at first, I was like, wait a second. Is this really? And it was. So I ran to the sink, spit it out. And thankfully, the poor little stink bug, he was mostly whole. So I think that he was alive in the container of greens. And somehow he didn't get chopped up when I was making the salad. And I somehow didn't see him. So when he went in my mouth, I must have scared him enough, but not chomped him enough to really smush him. But I scared him enough that he like stunk in my mouth. And so anyways, I spit him out. Obviously, I swished my mouth out with water like 4 or 5 times, spit that out, and proceeded to clear out the rest of the taste with bourbon. And it was disgusting. Now, I, though, being crazy, maybe, I don't know, maybe you would do this too, I continued to eat my salad. My husband did not. He was grossed out enough, but I ate mine and I ate his. I just was very careful about picking around in there to make sure that there were no other bugs in the salad. And there weren't, thankfully. But yeah, that was something that I never, ever thought would happen, that I would do, that I would almost eat a stink bug. So if you are growing anything inside, I guess my word of advice to you, word of caution, is that you should probably still wash the things and like look for bugs. So yeah, other than that, really no updates around here because again, it's been cold, other than the chickens producing a little bit more. So after the break, I'm going to go into my goals for the month of February. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by the Grow and Flourish Planner, the garden and homestead planner I developed that goes beyond the farm because it helps you set goals and discover which facets of your homestead life need the most attention and which facets deserve celebrating. In this second edition of my planner, you get over 225 color-coded and seasonal pages of planning, documentation, and introspection. It starts out with a yearly overview, including the Grow and Flourish assessment, that helps you prioritize areas of your life, like relationships, homestead production, work, health, and more. The planner is then divided and color-coded into the four seasons, with each season having a check-in assessment, a space to consolidate notes from last year, map the garden, plan your plantings, track your seed starting, track soil health and amendments, write down seasonal meals, inventory your seeds, summarize the season, and more. Each season is then broken down into months with summary pages, daily rhythms, weekly planning, day-by-day tracking, harvest tracking, and egg production pages. Each section of the planner is tabbed to keep you organized, and it includes a rip-proof and waterproof cover to keep your dreams and records safe. The planner is also designed for the disc binding system, which allows the planner to grow with you, whether you want to see only one season at a time, all the seasons together, or even keep last year's notes right alongside so you can compare. This planner is $39, but as a listener of the podcast, you can get 15% off when you use the code PODCAST at checkout. Get yours now with the link in the show notes and be the most prepared you've ever been for next season. So, the first goals that I'm going to talk about are the things that I have technically already completed. And honestly, the only reason that I did these things is because we had some nice-ish weather over the weekend, meaning that it was just warm. Like, we have had so much rain. It's been insane. We had snow that melted, and then we've gotten so much more rain, and it's been super squishy. But anyways, because of those warmer temperatures, I decided to try and get some of these things done over the weekend. The other reason is that, you know, this is just a personal thing, but my dad, he's going to be having knee surgery, and so I'm going to be helping out a lot with that, and so I needed to get some of these tasks done, and the weather worked out. So anyways, the first things that I did was I started doing some experimentation with early planting. So last year, I decided to do this too. Last year is when I heard about the winter sowing method for the first time. Winter sowing, if you haven't heard about it before, it's essentially letting Mother Nature determine when to sprout seeds outside. The true interpretation of winter sowing is you will put some soil in a plastic container, like a milk jug or a vinegar jug, something like that. You put it in the bottom. You also cut a slit around the jug. That way you can open it up like a lid. And you'll put your seeds there, put some water in there, some drainage holes, and then you let the container sit outside. In theory, this is making a mini greenhouse, and it allows nature to start these seeds at the earliest time that will work while still giving them a head start because they are protected. So last year, I did my own version of this in very early spring, probably late winter technically, and I decided to try growing some kale direct seeded into the ground of my in-ground beds in my garden. But what I did is I put protective, like those plastic jugs, on top of them. My goal here was to grow some kale where I will eventually put my warm weather crops, but grow the kale, get that out of there, harvest it, and then put in the warm weather things. So last spring, I had major issues with slugs, and it's also very windy here. I've said this before, but our garden is on the westmost side of our property next to a farm field. The tree line there is kind of open, especially right now during winter because there's no leaves on the trees. And so because of that, the wind rips through our garden space during winter time. So I was successful in getting germination of my kale last year using this semi-winter sowing method, but I made the mistake of taking off my covers too early, and so what that did is it allowed leaves to blow onto my seedlings, cover them up, and so they just kind of got covered and, you know, stopped growing. The other thing that happened too, and I've mentioned this before, is that we had major slug issues last year. And so any seedlings that did survive, they got eaten by slugs. So this year, what I wanted to try was direct sowing into my soil undercover, but I'm going to be more careful about when I take those covers off. And then I have also preemptively applied slug bait to the ground around these seeds. The other thing that I did too is I transplanted some stuff outside. I know it seems crazy, but I transplanted some very cold hardy crops like pak choy, broccolini, and Solanova lettuce. So the pak choy is a quick maturing crop. It's something that I generally have trouble with in the springtime because by the time I get it outside, it ends up bolting. And then broccolini is another relatively quick maturing crop compared to like full head broccoli. With the broccolini, you can get the little baby broccolis off much earlier. And so that's what I'm growing. And then the Solanova varieties of lettuce, I got these from Johnny's Seeds. Believe it or not, not this past Christmas, like the most recent winter time, but the one before, we had like 0 degree temperatures for like 4 or 5 days straight. And although the Solanova lettuce died that I had in my garden at that time, it came back, which was kind of nuts. So this lettuce, I'm hoping that it will grow. I don't know. I transplanted it out over the weekend. I also direct sowed the kale, and I also tried spinach this time too. So I have 4 pop-up row covers on my in-ground beds, and so that's the experiment that I'm doing right now. Again, my goal here is for all of these crops to mature before I put in my warm weather items. Will it happen? I'm not sure, but we will see. And in my opinion, it was worth the experiment just because, I don't know. So we're trying it out. So that is one thing that I had on my goal list for February, but it is something that I already completed. The other thing that I completed already was seed starting my onions. So on my list, I was supposed to, in the month of February, start onions and also start cabbage. Cabbage will be later in the month, but those onions, I decided, you know what, I'm going to do it because I had some free time over the weekend. And I figured, yeah, let me just get it done. So I am going to do a podcast episode completely about the way that I am starting seeds this year. Hopefully by the time I record it, I will get some germination from my onion seeds. But I am using something new. I'm using some like instant soil little pucks that have like a biocellulose wrapper around them that keeps them contained. That way I can put out these plugs without needing to pot up or anything like that. So hopefully by the time I record that episode, I'll have a good update for you. So seed starting onions and cabbage are on my list for February. But of course I got the onions done already. So everything else that is on my list here are things that I do still need to do. Some garden things are putting wood chips on my garden paths. This is something that I did last February as well, and I did just do some inventory of my wood chip piles that I have outside. So last winter time, we had some trees taken down on our property, and those were very fresh wood chips that we had. Those are the wood chips that I put down on my garden paths last year. They have held up, but it is always a good idea to redo those paths, because if you don't, it's more likely that weeds will come back up. So this year, I'm going to be using wood chips from that same pile because they don't seem that they've broken down that much. So this proves the point that I have been talking about for all these past episodes since like summertime, is that the nitrogen availability in my soil is terrible because not this winter, but the winter before, I made the stupid decision to mix wood chips into my soil thinking that it would add some good organic matter. Well, it didn't, because the wood chips just take so long to decompose. So back to taking inventory of my wood chip piles. We have had lots of trees taken down on our property. And so I have kind of like 2-3-ish different piles of wood chips, and they're all different ages. The good news is my oldest wood chips, they look like they are pretty much broken down, and they are very like, at least the top layer, the outside layer, is very soft and pretty and kind of looks like soil. So that is really good news, because what I'm hoping to do is be able to use those decomposed wood chips. And by now, they're probably 2 or 3 years old, I would say. My plan is to try and use those as mulch in my garden in the springtime. So the other thing that ties into this is I want to start composting my chicken manure. If you have been listening to this podcast, you know that I have been trying to figure out what the heck to do with my chicken poop. Throughout winter so far, and in the fall, I've just been putting it into my in-ground beds and also my raised beds in my garden, because over the winter time, it will have enough time to break down. But now that spring is going to be coming quick and things will start being transplanted out, I can't keep putting raw chicken poop in there anymore. And so I'm going to start composting it into those oldest wood chips, or maybe like my pile that's in the middle, I would say. I did get a new tool to do this composting with. If you have listened to past episodes, you know that I've tried a couple different methods. I tried this fancy composting bin that was an absolute pain in my butt. So I'm just going to do it the old fashioned way. I'm not going to do it like technically hot composting, because I just don't think that I have the brain capacity for that. So all I'm doing is just letting my chicken poop age essentially in the wood chips. So what I ordered is this special like compost crank. So we'll see what happens. Hopefully by the end of February, I can have some updates for you. But that is something that I want to start doing here in February, is putting my chicken poop not on my garden, but into the wood chips, so it can continue to break them down and also release some of the nitrogen, the hot, hot nitrogen that is in the chicken poop. Another thing that I want to do for the garden is put up my windbreak. As I said, our garden is right by that tree line, and the wind whips right through our garden during winter. And so what I need to do is put up the cedar fence panel that we have against the fence panel of our garden that is chain link. That way I can block some of the wind and things aren't so harsh on the garden. But other than that, that's really about it in the garden, except for at the very end of February when I will be direct sowing radishes and greens under the covered low tunnels that I have on my raised beds. I have been using the seed time planting calendar to figure out those dates. I mentioned that in last week's episode, and that's how I'm getting my approximate timelines for these tasks. And then those specific planting things, what I'm doing is I'm taking those dates from the seed time calendar online, and then I'm plugging them into my paper calendar, into the weekly overview, the weekly task list sections, and the monthly sections of my Grow and Flourish planner. So that's how I'm keeping track of all of this. Some other things that we're going to be doing in February is making maple syrup. We did this last year and the year before, and so there's quite a few tasks that come with this. I really like making maple syrup. It is definitely a lot of work, but it is really fun, and it's a great way to get you outside in the cold winter months when there's a little bit more sunlight and a little bit more warmth. So when you make maple syrup, the time of year that you want to tap your trees is when you have temperatures during the daytime that are above 40s, and then you still want it to get freezing at night. And so here in Ohio, February is a wonderful month for that. I was looking at my notes from last year, and we tapped our trees like at the beginning of February, so this is going to be coming pretty darn quick. So the whole process of making the syrup, we have to tap the trees. We also have to build a maple stove. We have been making our maple stove out of cinder blocks for the past couple years, but of course with the fire that's under them, we have broken quite a few of them. So I think we're actually going to have to buy some cinder blocks this year to make this stove. But essentially, you will make a stove on like the flattest area of your property that you can find, ideally close to some firewood. So we're going to have to chop some more firewood this year too, or I'm sorry, in this month. We're going to have to chop more firewood. We're going to have to build the maple stove and then make the maple syrup. That is something that I will can. And we'll hopefully have maple syrup for the entire year, just like we did this year, because actually we are down to our last jar of maple syrup. So really, that's about all that is on deck for the month of February. February is a short month, although this is a leap year, so we have one extra day. That's about it for February, so I'm just going to do a quick rundown here. In terms of the garden, I have already started my onions. I need to start my cabbage still. I have done some experimenting outside. I tried direct sowing some kale and spinach, and then I tried transplanting some very cold hardy but quick maturing items under cover. I also am going to be direct sowing radishes and greens in the month of February under cover. I need to clean up my garden a little bit more by putting some wood chips on the paths. I need to put up a windbreak to help protect all the things that I will be putting into the garden. And then the last thing for us is really getting maple syrup done. As I said, it is a lot of work. It is very fun, but it is a long process because basically every day I am checking the buckets that are on our trees and I am putting those into containers, which actually, now that I think about it, I probably need to buy some more. We use just literally trash cans, but my trash cans that we used last year for the maple syrup are currently full of shredded leaves. So I gotta go buy some trash cans. But anyways, it's a long process from tapping the trees to getting all of that sap off the buckets or out of the buckets and into another container every day to boiling down the sap. Like, that is a full day process. You start early, you get the sap on there, and it takes a long time to cook it down. And then once we get it to like one pan full, we bring it inside and I have to boil it down even more in the kitchen before I can can it. So It's a long process, but it's a fun process. We're probably going to have family over and make it more of like an event this year. So it should be pretty fun. But yeah, that's about it for February. I hope that these episodes with my monthly goals are helpful, just because it hopefully kind of sparks some ideas for you, helps you stay on track. But of course, you do have to remember that I am in Ohio. We have, I don't know, harsh-ish winters and also harsh-ish summers. My last frost date is around the end of April, and so just keep that in mind when you are thinking about your garden, because some of these things you might have already done if you're in a warmer climate than me, or maybe you are a month or so off if you are in a colder climate than me. So again, that is it for today, and I will talk to you next week. Thanks for listening to the Girly Homesteader podcast. If you liked this episode, please make sure to leave a rating and subscribe so you never miss a new episode. I'll talk to you next week, but until then, I hope you grow and flourish in all the ways that make you, you.